Good morning and welcome to Ask the Pro, a paid commercial program. The opinions expressed are those of the participating clients and not necessarily those of the management and staff of WLVL. Ask the Pro is an informational-based program designed to advertise the product and or service of the client and to introduce them to the WLVL listening audience. Your questions and comments are welcome throughout the show. If you'd like to talk to today's pro, just call 433-1433. That's 433-1433.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, the 24th of August. We have an absolutely beautiful morning going here. Great start to this day. And we welcome you to Ask the Pro, brought to you by Catholic Health of Western New York. My name is John Mazur. And for the next 50 minutes or so, we'll be chatting with our guest this morning. We want to welcome Joyce Markowitz. She is the Executive Vice President and Chief Business Development Officer for Catholic Health. And so good morning and welcome, Joyce.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you here. You picked an absolutely beautiful day to come up to Lockport and to be over here on the west side of the city.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So, Joyce, you are from Western New York, correct?
I am. I was born in Western New York and have lived here pretty much my entire life. I had a little short stint in Rochester, but then moved back to the area and have lived here my whole life.
All right. And so, you've been with Catholic Health now in this role as Executive Vice President and Chief Business Development Officer for a period of time. And prior to that, you were doing something sort of interesting as well, right?
I actually have been with Catholic Health. I'm starting my 15th year with Catholic Health, and my role as Chief Business Development Officer has really been for just about, it's almost 3 years now. But prior to that, I actually came to work for Catholic Health because I am a nurse and have a lot of community health experience. And I started working for Catholic Health as a vice president of operations for their home health care division and worked there for probably about 6 months. And I was actually promoted to the CEO of their home health care division. And during that time, interestingly enough, even before Catholic Health had Mount St. Mary's as part of one of our as part of our system, I began looking at expanding our home health care division up into Niagara County, hearing that, you know, that sometimes it was difficult to receive home care services, and began to work with some of the local politicians as well as the Department of Health staff, developed wonderful relationships with those folks, and eventually Catholic Health actually purchased the public health's home health care division, and it became Macaulay Seton Home Care. So it was a really big initiative that we were very proud of coming here into Niagara County, and we've done extremely well and been really able to offer a lot of additional services to the community through home care. And then Mount St. Mary's came on board with us, and that was even more exciting because it just kept helping us to grow our footprint up here in Niagara County, which was really important to the organization.
Excuse me, how long ago did Mount St. Mary's join the Catholic Health system?
It's been about 6 years.
Oh, okay. All right. I knew a long time ago, many years ago, when my mother had some health issues, she was always going up to Mount St. Mary's for blood infusions and things. But I think that was probably long before Catholic Health was involved. And, of course, Carrie knows that we've gotten to know C.J. Erlob quite well, the president of the hospital there. So, thank you very much, Joyce, for sharing that with us. And so, in your role now, what exactly do you do as executive vice president and chief business development officer?
Well, you know, it's funny. When I was working in the home health care area, I began to take on additional responsibilities for the organization and began to oversee the nursing homes, the PACE programs, things like women's services and imaging and laboratory, I would describe it as the things that you normally see outside the walls of the hospital where people access care. And I have always found myself to have quite an entrepreneurial spirit. So during the time that I was in home care, one of the areas that I thought was really important to expand into, for example, was pharmacy. So I was involved in the acquisition of a local pharmacy so that we could provide infusion therapy to our patients at home. Later, we expanded that to a retail pharmacy that we have at our one of our hospital sisters' hospital, so that when patients go home, they can actually receive their medications before they leave the hospital. And that particular hospital is a safety net hospital, and very often patients can't afford to purchase their pharmaceuticals, or they just don't have the transportation to get there. Mm-hmm. So we thought it was really important to put a pharmacy at that site. A few years ago, I was involved in the development of a joint venture with two other providers in the community called Health Home Partners of Western New York. And what we do is we provide case management services to folks that are on Medicaid. So I, throughout my career at Catholic Health, I've been involved at developing new businesses and looking for new opportunities and starting a lot of programs. So when Mark Sullivan became our CEO, he approached me and asked me if I would do that on a full-time basis, knowing that, you know, the current landscape is that we are very codependent on hospital care, and understanding that we have a responsibility to care for the whole community, and that goes beyond the walls of the hospital. Mm-hmm. So my role is really about exploring new opportunities and looking for ways that we can grow business and provide better access to care that isn't necessarily hospital-based care. Mm-hmm. And so it's I started off with myself and one other person, and now I'm finding that the department is growing because there's many, many new things to explore, and it's been a very exciting time for us.
Well, just one instance of reaching beyond the walls of the hospital, just this season, this summer, Catholic Health has picked up the sponsorship of the Lockport Community Market, and that not only expanded from Saturdays but to Wednesday afternoons as well now. So throughout the summer, we've had two opportunities to go down to Canal Street, take advantage of the community farmers market. And I think the last time CJ was with us, it was just after that announcement had been made, and he was explaining the desire to just embrace the community and provide great services. So have you been to the market, Joyce?
I haven't yet, I would love to attend because usually I get up about 6 o'clock on Saturday mornings and I head to one of the local farmer's markets. So I enjoy the farmer's markets across the community, and I try to hit up multiple sites. I usually go to the one in East Aurora or the one in Hamburg, but I would love to come and explore the farmer's market here.
Yeah. Well, I understand that Ann McCaffrey and CJ were at one just a couple of weeks ago. And had I known they were going to be there, I would have hightailed it over there just to see them in a different setting, because I always see them within the walls of the studio of the station here. So, so we look forward to that. In fact, tomorrow is the next one, Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 6 on Canal Street here in Lockport. So, Joyce, you have a nursing background, I understand.
I do. I actually graduated a long time ago, I won't tell you when, from DeUville College. Started my career as a bedside nurse, worked in hospitals. And interestingly, when I was living in Rochester, I was working at Highland Hospital in Rochester, but one of the things I also did was I was a volunteer for Meals on Wheels. And at the time, my children were very little, and I'd pack them into the car, and we would go deliver meals. And it was just so great because so many of these folks were, you know, alone, they were elderly, mm-hmm. and they looked so forward to our visits. And I kept thinking about the fact that how nice it would be for to work in home health care. So when I moved back to the Buffalo area, I went to one of the local home health care providers, and I applied for a job and started working as a home health care nurse and became the director of nursing for that company. And then I realized how much I really liked the business side of it as well. And so I moved into more of the operational running of the organization. But I can tell you that there is not a day that goes by that I am not using one of my skills that I learned as a nurse. Mm-hmm. And I think the other piece of it is it really drives my philosophies, and even in business development, I think it's really important that you always keep the patient at the center of everything. And it's very easy for me to do that because it's pretty much hardwired into my nature. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say, just to set the foundation for your career, being a nurse, you have the understanding of what it's like to deal with the patients face-to-face. You know what the needs are. You know when you walk into a home and you've got a 75- or an 80-year-old living alone that they're looking for some company. They're looking for some conversation, possibly. And that just, in my mind anyways, that provides a tremendous foundation for being able to do some of the other things that you've been doing.
Absolutely. So. I've been so blessed throughout my career, and especially with my time at Catholic Health, because of the fact that I've been allowed to have that all of my passions somewhat nurtured by the organization, knowing that, you know, as I've come up with what I call some of my harebrained ideas, that people have listened and said, yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense, and it really is a good thing for the community. It's a good thing for our patients. And I've been allowed to test some of those things throughout the years and with a great deal of success. So,
yeah. We are talking to Joyce Markowitz this morning on Ask the Pro, brought to you by Catholic Health and Mount St. Mary's Hospital. She is the Executive Vice President and Chief Business Development Officer for Catholic Health. 433-1433 is our number to call if you'd like to jump in to the conversation, perhaps ask a question. 433-1433 is the number to call. And we've had an opportunity to get an idea of who Joyce Markowitz is. And so as your role with Catholic Health, there are some plans that were announced just a couple of months ago, Joyce, I'm sure you are intimately involved with, that's going to affect especially Eastern Niagara County over the next couple of years. And so we're happy for this opportunity to have you here. People may have some questions they want to call in and ask you, but let's just get started. How did this whole concept of a new hospital in Eastern Niagara Hospital formulate? How did that come about?
I would, the two people that you mentioned previously, Ann McCaffrey and C.J. Earlup, the two of them really started to talk a great deal about the challenges that Ann was having at Eastern Niagara and all of her concerns. And frankly, that woman deserves a badge of courage.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
She has just been such a trooper, holding that facility together, keeping the lights on and the doors open. And the community should be really proud of her in her commitment to that area. They began to talk about, you know, ways that we could begin collaborating in an effort to keep Eastern Niagara Hospital open. And CJ would frequently call me and say, what do you think about this? What if, you know, do you think we could do this? And finally we sat down, because as you can imagine, we're in the midst of a pandemic that really was taking precedence over so much of our lives every single day. And to be focused on something different other than the pandemic wasn't easy, because it just drained the organization of so many resources. Mm-hmm. And we sat with Mark Sullivan and we talked about the fact that there were, you know, 80,000 people in a community that were going to lose access to health care within their own county. They would either have to travel, you know, a distance to get to Mount St. Mary's or to Niagara Falls Memorial, or they were going to have to go south and they were going to have to leave the county to receive care. And, you know, when you think about why Catholic Health exists and how it all started with women religious coming into a community and opening a hospital because the need was there. So we started to explore how could we make this work? Mm-hmm. Because there's a couple of big factors here. You have a hospital that is struggling financially. We need to make sure that it can remain intact and continue to service the community. And then what we don't want to do is we don't want to build just the same old, because we're going to get the same result. It's known across the entire state that, you know, some of the smaller community hospitals just cannot survive, both with the reimbursement structures and the requirements that are placed on hospitals that are expensive to, it's very expensive to maintain a facility. And what we don't need is to build another very large facility that ends up having a lot of empty beds, because you have to staff those beds and it takes resources. So we began to look around to other parts of the country and what people were doing in other areas. And we came really across this concept of what is called the micro hospital. And the micro hospitals are really designed to be built for smaller communities, or they can be built in very metropolitan areas that don't necessarily that service neighborhoods versus someone having to go to a very large hospital. So we began to explore all of that and having conversations with New York State, and then started to design what could be the hospital I would like to call the hospital of the future. Mm-hmm. And it the more we worked on it and the more people that we talked to, the more excited we became about the idea. You know, these types of hospitals do exist already in other parts of the country, and we've been really blessed to be able to work with some folks in Indiana as well as some folks in Pennsylvania that have built these hospitals, and they've been helping us through our journey of designing and also with giving us some of the best practices in how you can make this a sustainable model, because that's what it's all about. It's creating a sustainable model. And I think the one thing that makes this so exciting for us is part of the sustainability is not just the building that we're building, but it's the continuum of care that we have here at Catholic Health. So when I talked earlier about the home care piece, that's significant. So when someone comes into the emergency room and really doesn't need to be in a hospital, but there's nobody at home to take care of them, and we have resources like home care, or we have subacute rehab or long-term care facilities, or we have PACE programs and outpatient services. All of those things can be wrapped around someone to make sure that they're getting the right care at the right place at the right time.
433-1433 is the number to call. We're talking this morning to Joyce Markowitz. Joyce is the Executive Vice President and Chief Business Development Officer for Catholic Health. And 433-1433, again, the number if you'd like to jump in. Perhaps you have a question about the new hospital that's going to appear over the next couple of years here in the town of Lockport. And so, Joyce, let me ask you something. Going back, I don't have the facts in front of me, and I don't have the time frame. But do you remember when the state issued or they mandated a study for hospital consolidation? Within the last 15 to 20 years?
Yeah, it was called the Berger Commission.
Yes,
is that
yes.
The one you're talking about?
Yes,
mm-hmm. Yes.
So do you think that at that time when the state mandated that study and then made recommendations for certain communities, do you think maybe they were thinking of the smaller, more rural communities as opposed to the big, huge markets of hospitals? Or did this whole concept of the micro-hospital come out after that?
I think the micro hospitals came out after that.
Mm, okay.
But I do believe that part of what the Berger Commission tried to accomplish and what the state has been speaking about for a long time is right-sizing, that we have to make sure that we have the right number of beds available within each of the communities, that we are not overbedded. They also are constantly looking for us as, you know, healthcare organizations to come up with new and innovative models. And I think that this particular idea of doing this neighborhood hospital is a perfect example of that. And the support that we've received from the state has been tremendous. They are looking for new ways of delivering care. They don't want to do things the same old way because they know that we can't. We've also seen so much change in the last few years. Like when I was driving up here today, I was thinking about the fact that when I was a kid, my mother went into the hospital to have her gallbladder removed. And she actually went to Mercy Hospital in Buffalo to have her gallbladder removed. She was there for an entire week.
Ooh.
An entire week. And you think about that now. You go in the morning, you have your gallbladder removed, and by the end of the afternoon, you're home and you're recuperating at home. So, you know, things are changing literally on a daily basis. Surgeries that were once, you know, performed in the hospital are now being performed in ambulatory surgery centers. And procedures, small procedures, are being done right in doctor's offices. So hospitals, as we have known them probably through my lifetime, are starting to look very differently. Will hospitals ever go away? Absolutely not. We're always going to need hospitals.
Right.
But they're going to be for very, very sick people. And accessing care, for example, in an emergency room is really not appropriate when you can access that same care someplace else. Or you can get that care in an immediate care. Or you can get that care from your primary care physician. And I think that that message is loud and clear for our industry, and that everyone's working very, you know, diligently to try to make care more affordable at the right place, and make things more accessible so that people don't feel like they need to go to a hospital for everything that they need.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk right now about the new facility. I'm assuming that you have had some involvement in the planning discussions and getting, as you mentioned, from Pennsylvania, Indiana, some mm-hmm. input from other existing hospitals of this design. So what's it all mean for those of us here in Eastern Niagara County? The hospital will be moving from the city on East Avenue in the building that's been around since, if I remember correctly, 1908, wow. I think. And so, but this brand new facility, it'll be state of the art. It'll have the latest and the greatest. And tell us a little bit about what we can expect.
Okay, I'd be happy to.
Mm-hmm. So
when we started to down this journey, we originally believed that we would build the hospital. And then, as you recall, on Transit Road, there is actually Eastern Niagara owns an ambulatory surgery center, and they have an immediate care site called Express Care. And we thought we would build the hospital, we would close down Express Care, and we would turn that space into offices for primary care and specialty care. But as we journeyed down the road a little bit further, we realized that why would we close down the Express Care site? It's another access point for people that aren't quite as sick, that don't really need to go to an emergency room, but they may need health care, you know, because they woke up one day and they didn't feel well and they don't have a physician, or they couldn't get into their physician practice. So it made sense for us to keep that open. So we began to modify our plans and decided that we were not only going to build the hospital, but attached to the hospital, we were going to put a suite of both primary care and specialty services. And at the center of that, we were going to have imaging, imaging that would be required for any hospital would have, but also imaging services that people could access on an outpatient. So you can come to your doctor and you'll be able to have your lab work done there. You'll be able to have your imaging services done all on the same campus. So we really wanted to make it more of a destination, sort of a center of excellence. When we took a look at the hospital itself, we spent a lot of time looking at what's been happening in the last 24 to 36 months related to how many patients are coming into the hospitals and what's been happening as it relates to the pandemic. It's been very difficult to predict or model because of the fact that it has taken a very long time to have people come back to the hospital since the pandemic. Because, as you know, many people put off their care during that time because of, you know, mm-hmm. of the fear of that they may end up with COVID. So we ended up engaging an outside consultant called Miriam. Her name is Miriam Jennings, and she and her team did a lot of analytics work and took a look at the community itself, the zip codes around where we would be building the hospital, and really taking a look at some of the past volumes of what we were seeing both at Eastern Niagara and other parts of the community. And we settled on only having 10 beds, which I know makes people kind of stand back and say, oh, you know, what kind of hospital would only have 10 beds? But we also decided that what we would do when we build this hospital is we're going to put shell space in so that when we get to our new norm after mm-hmm. the pandemic, we find that we need to have additional beds, that we will already have the infrastructure in place and we'll be able to put those beds in very quickly. We'll be able to build the additional room that we need. But we wanted to start with 10 because, remember, the word sustainability is really important to us. We want to make sure that what we're building is going to be here for a long time and it's going to be able to sustain itself. So why 10? Well, we started to take a look a lot at the what's happening on the Eastern Niagara campus today. As you know, primarily the care that's being provided at that hospital is the emergency room care and also a lot of medical surgical care. They no longer do surgeries at that site, and they no longer have an ICU. And so when you're building a neighborhood hospital, it is the same concept. You normally do not perform surgeries. Some of these neighborhood hospitals do, but the majority of them don't. The idea is that you have a full-service emergency room. You have inpatient services. But, again, I go back to that structure of wrapping the continuum of care around that patient. So you think about the fact that there are other hospitals around the area that are really good. They're really good at taking care of that person that has a problem with their heart or a problem with their brain. You don't really want that done in a neighborhood hospital, because when you don't perform certain procedures and you don't do certain things on a regular basis, the quality outcomes begin to decline, simply because, you know, practice makes perfect. And so you want to send someone where they have the knowledge and expertise to do those types of procedures or treat those types of patients. So that's really what the concept is built on. The other piece that's really important around the neighborhood hospital is around making decisions, or the disposition of the patient is what I like to call it. So when you walk through the door, we don't want you to be sitting in a chair for a couple of hours waiting for a lab result or a test result. We want you to be able to move through very quickly. And by the time that lab work comes back or that CT scan is completed, we want to know where you're going next. So it may be that you're going to stay at the hospital we're going to admit you right there, or it might be that your care is more acute and you would be better served someplace else. Maybe you're a trauma patient and you need to immediately be sent to Erie County Medical Center. So we're going to have a helipad available so that we can transport people that are critically ill. But, you know, time is important. Time is brain. Time is heart. So to have someone travel beyond this hospital when all of the services are going to be available to them to stabilize people and then to transport them where they need to be, that's important. One of the neighborhood hospitals that we visited told us a story about, they have a large children's hospital in their downtown. And this family came in, they were actually driving in because their child was choking. And they were pulled over on the way. The police officer took them right to the neighborhood hospital, and they were able to save the child's life, and then they immediately transported that child to the local children's hospital. So that's part of what this hospital will be able to do. Mm-hmm. But whenever we can keep that person within our facility, we will keep them within our facility. But we do want that specialized care to be at the places that people should be for those types of services.
We're talking to Joyce Markowitz this morning on Ask the Pro, presented by Catholic Health and Mount St. Mary's Hospital. Joyce is the Executive Vice President and Chief Business Development Officer for Catholic Health, and she was gracious to take her time out to join us this morning to give us some insight into the plans for the new hospital. And Joyce, if you would, I'd like you to just reiterate the importance of the planning for the emergency care, the emergency room operations, because I don't see a lot of people, but I do get comments from time to time, and this is a hot button issue for a lot of folks. And one of the concerns that I've heard over and over again is, well, if it's going to be, you know, downsized from what we have now, are we going to get the same kind of emergency room care? What if I'm cutting my lawn and all of a sudden there's an accident and I need emergency care services? So from what I hear you saying, that's going to be like a huge focal point, correct?
Absolutely. Our emergency room is going to have 18 rooms in the emergency room. We will have a decontamination room, considering the fact that there's a lot of industry up in this area. The decontamination room is a very important piece in case there is some type of a chemical spill or an accident. In addition to that, there'll be a person of size room. We will also have a sexual assault room. Those are three separate specialty rooms that are equipped with special equipment that are going to be available. This is going to be a full emergency room, much like Eastern Niagara is today. It will have full physician coverage 24/7. Just like you would expect if you went to the hospital to either Mount St. Mary's or Eastern Niagara today. It would be exactly the same. In addition to that, we will have then, obviously, the 10 inpatient beds. And what's really interesting is that what we have found with our relationship with Eastern Niagara over the past year is that Eastern Niagara, the daily census in the hospital, when you look at the types of patients that are being treated there, I think that it's been right-sized to it's kind of validated what we're doing moving forward, because we're seeing that the number of people that actually require an inpatient stay falls within that 10-bed, sometimes 15-bed range. So I think we're on target to do the right thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you have a hospital with 100 beds doesn't mean you always have 100 patients in the hospital. And like I said, we're trying to build the hospital of the future, where we don't necessarily want to keep people in the hospital. You know, hospitals aren't great places to be sometimes. They're places where you can get other infections or things can happen. So it's not a place you really want to hang out.
Yeah.
The best place is to send people to their homes or to send them to a different level of care, where they can get what they need, and they can do that in a better environment.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself here just a moment ago that how many times have I heard somebody say, oh, golly, they're going to release me today. I really want to stay another couple of days.
Exactly.
You know, so I fully understand what you're saying there, Joyce. Let's get back to those specialty emergency rooms for just a moment. They're focusing on sexual assault.
Correct.
And
there's a decontamination room.
Okay, and then what was the other one?
A person of size room.
Person of size? Okay.
Person of size.
All right.
Yes.
So, is this a new concept? I mean, have these other hospitals that you've been working with in Indiana and Pennsylvania, is this something that they also have or that they have developed?
They have, but we also have these are things that we have available in our emergency rooms today
at
Catholic Health.
Okay.
So we thought it was really important that we make sure that this is looked at and it feels and is a full-service emergency room.
Yeah. Well, that's great for sharing. Thank you for sharing that, Joyce, because, as I say, I've sensed that there are some people that are concerned about, mm-hmm. you know, what would happen when the old hospital closes. Are we going to be able to utilize? And it sounds like a lot of thought and planning consultation has gone into making sure that it is going to be indeed state-of-the-art.
Mm-hmm. So. Yes, we've had a lot of internal, external meetings. We've consulted with outside organizations, people that have already been in this space. We're not doing this in a vacuum. We're listening to people. We've spent time with the EMS providers up in this area, asking them, you know, what's important to them, and making sure that we're listening to all of the constituents that we, you know, we want people to have a voice in this.
Yeah. And so, Joyce, before we start talking about the actual shovels in the ground, mm-hmm. groundbreaking that's going to take place, let's talk about probably the other topic that's on everybody's mind. How on earth is this going to be paid for? What kind of funding and resources have been gathered so far?
We've been doing a lot of work in this area, as you can well imagine. So, you know, part of the when we started working with Anne McCaffrey, she had a few years ago had received some dollars. It was $5.6 million that was going to be provided to Eastern Niagara to build a new emergency room at the existing site. And so those dollars are sitting out there, and New York State is going to transfer that money to Catholic Health. In addition, she had acquired dollars from some of the local foundations. We've gone back to all of those foundations, and they have asked us, instead of just transferring those dollars, they've asked us to redo our applications. And in some instances, we've actually increased the request in terms of the dollar amount. But we just recently received a $500,000 grant from the KeyBank National Community Benefit Plan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another example of some of the grant dollars. But we have requests out there to many different organizations across Western New York, and all of them are based on they all have their own timing, so we anticipate that by September we'll start hearing more and more from some of the local foundations in terms of what they are going to be willing to award us. So we're very excited about that. our CEO, Mark Sullivan, and has been really been engaged at the federal level, and he has been working with some of the federal folks to see if there are dollars that are available for us. There have been dollars that have been that will be awarded to us, but those announcements haven't come through yet because they have to be go through an approval process. But there's several million dollars that is tied to some of the federal money, and we're also looking at more of the funding that's coming through as the Biden plan is starting to release more funding, and we have folks that are working in on all of that as well. And then in the beginning of the new year, we'll be launching a community-wide campaign. Looking for the community to provide some support through a capital campaign.
So what is the price tag for the new facility?
Okay. So the price tag that initially was put out there it has gone up in terms of the dollar request. And when you take a look at that, there has to be a little bit of explanation around that because even our own board of directors had to take a little bit of a gasp. When we submitted all of our documents to New York State actually asked us to look beyond just the dollars for building the facility, but they asked us to look at things like, as you know, we have been exploring the idea of trying to cut into the bypass so that we have another entrance into the hospital. So although we're not doing that today, we're working with the Department of Transportation. That's something that isn't going to happen immediately, but it's something that is on our radar. We were asked to put the funding for that into the cost of the hospital. So there are a lot of expenses that we ended up adding in that don't necessarily amount to just the building itself. In addition to that, as I mentioned to you earlier, we were going to do the immediate care at the Transit Road location, and now that we've added that to the building, that's additional expense as well. So I think that the hospital, it's up to about 60,000 square feet, which is a little bit larger than what we originally started with, but that includes all of the specialty care and the primary care that we'll be bringing to the site and that additional space.
Yeah. Well, that's a very clear explanation of some of these additional expenses now, like, for example, the proposed connection to the bypass. I think in one of our previous conversations, it might have been even with Ann McCaffrey, we were talking about the fact that there is legislation that has to be approved to do that because the bypass has been protected so the businesses don't start building off of it. And I'm probably not using the right language here, but the idea is it's a protected area, so there has to be changes to zoning and to permit an entranceway. So we know that's not going to happen overnight.
Right. But it's really important.
It is important. And the fact that you've explained that cost has been piled into the initial cost of building the hospital, I think is very critical for people to know that there are things that I'm assuming the state has probably said you need to add in, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. In addition to that, you know, when you think about what has happened to, and when you talked about how old the existing Eastern Niagara is, and we face that same challenge with our hospitals and some of our other hospitals. And when you get a building that is that old, it's very difficult as healthcare changes or new services become available because you have to figure out, well, how am I going to put this into such an old building? Mm. And so you begin to bolt things on and you lose efficiency. So you might have an increase in the size of your operating rooms per se, but your pathology, which is important during an operation, may be two floors down because it occurs because of the fact of the age of the building, and that's the only place you can place it. So as we're building this building, part of I mentioned earlier is that we are putting some shell space into the building for potential expansion. So obviously that's part of the cost of this as well. So there's the additional shell space. We're trying to build something that in the future it was designed so that if we want to expand it, if we want to add additional services, let's say, for example, 5 years down the road, we decide that we want to put operating rooms here. It's being designed so we know exactly where those are going to go. And I think that is extremely important when you're building something new. You can't just build it for today. You have to be thinking about what could it be in the future.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're trying to do here.
Well, I personally am very excited about hearing all of these plans and knowing that so much thought is being put into not just the immediate once the building opens its doors, but down the road, the idea of having an expandable facility should the need arise in the community 5, 6, 8, 10 years, whatever the time frame is, I think is a tremendous way to go because we don't know. I mean, all of a sudden COVID came out of almost nowhere, but it became an issue very quickly in this country as it did around the world. But that changed the complexion of healthcare. That changed how our hospitals are operating. So who's to say that, you know, down the road that we don't come across something maybe similar or something that would have an effect. So my point is to have the plan so that the facility can expand as the needs expand, I think is a very wise choice, a very wise way to go.
Ultimately, I mean, there's a very fundamental principle here. We want to meet the needs of the community, and we want to make sure that the people that are living in this community have access to good quality health care. So there are no other ulterior motives. You know, that's what it's really all about. And we want to do that in a way that's cost effective, it's sustainable, and that, again, we can meet the needs now and in the future.
Joyce Markowitz is the Executive Vice President and Chief Business Development Officer for Catholic Health. She is our guest today on Ask the Pro, presented by Catholic Health in Mount St. Mary's Hospital. 433-1433 is the number to call. In the remaining time that we have, if you'd like to sneak in a question or two, and I'm sure that Joyce will be happy to answer your question. Joyce, with the plans now, we know that the property is over off of Schumer Drive, I think between Schumer and Rollman.
That's correct.
Behind the Home Depot, basically.
Right.
People know on Transit Road where the Home Depot is, mm-hmm. So it's in that property behind there. What's the next step? What is going to be happening, and when can we see some activity begin?
Well, there's been actually quite a bit of activity that's been taking place. First of all, we've been working very closely with the town of Lockport and also the city, because there's a little piece of the land that is considered the city. So the planning boards and the folks here in Lockport have just been incredible helping us move through the project and getting the approvals that we need for the land itself. So that piece has been completed. And then the next huge hurdle that we had was with the Department of Health. So in New York State, when you're going to build a hospital or anything that's healthcare related, you're required to submit what's called a certificate of need. And then the Department of Health looks at everything from the size of the building, safety, all the regulations, is in compliant with all the state regulations. They look at architectural drawings. They look at exactly where the site is going to be placed. Everything from soup to nuts. And then once you submit all of that information, it has to go to a council, and the council reviews all of the information and then makes recommendations if they think that the project is worthy to move forward. Following the council's approval, it then has to go for a final vote. So there's a separate meeting for that, and then once the final vote occurs, then New York State basically gives you their blessings. Normally, there's some level of what they refer to as contingencies, and they're just things that the state wants to watch throughout the process to make sure that we're getting everything done the way they expect it to be. We went through that process. We submitted everything, all the budgeting, all the drawings, everything. We recently went to New York State and participated in the initial hearing, and they reviewed everything, and it made it to the second round. And just a couple weeks ago, Mark Sullivan, our CEO, and I went back to Albany, where we all received our final approval. So that was a huge hurdle for us. Mm-hmm. Our next steps will be starting to prepare the site, working with the developers, and all of that work is going on behind the scenes with our team at Catholic Health. Our goal is really to get a shovel in the ground no later than maybe mid-October. We definitely want to have a shovel in the ground before the snow starts flying. Mm-hmm. And then our goal is to have the hospital built, the physical structure built and ready by around January of 2023. And then what will happen after that is once the building gets handed over to us and it's completed, then we need to bring in there'll be folks that'll come in from the Department of Health, State Board of Pharmacy, all of the local requirements, and they'll come in and do all of their final inspections. Plus, we then have to furnish it, you know, put the beds in, all of the equipment that's necessary, and all of that will be done. So we're anticipating that we will be in the building. It's our hope to be in the building by March of 2023.
Wow. Well, that's a really clear timetable that you've laid out for us here, Joyce. We appreciate that. And now, as far as the structure itself, are there going to be like an administration wing? Are there going to be other doctor's offices in the facility aside from the essentials that we've talked about,
right,
you know, this morning?
A good portion of the building will be dedicated to a primary care suite as well as specialty offices. And there will be a women's health services area as well. It is our intent to bring more specialty care into this marketplace, both with some of our employed physicians as well as independent physicians that will be using that site. It's really important to us because the whole idea behind this hospital is maintaining health care in Niagara County. So it's really important to us that we are able to bring specialists and primary care physicians into the community so that you don't have to go someplace else to see a cardiologist. You don't have to go to Erie County to see a dermatologist. We're hoping that we'll be able to, with our new site, be able to attract physicians that will want to come here and provide those services to the people of Niagara County.
Joyce Markowitz is the Executive Vice President and Chief Business Development Officer for Catholic Health. And, Joyce, we don't have a lot of time, maybe a moment or two left. Any final thoughts for us today? And, by the way, I just wanted to, again, thank you for sharing all of this information because, you know, these are things that people have been asking about, and the more informed we are, I think the better the support in the long run is going to be. So any final thoughts?
Yeah, well, first of all, it was very easy to talk about this because it's a great initiative, great project. Be wonderful for this community, and we're very excited about it. But I also want you to know that, you know, we're working on a plan so that we can continuously provide more information to the community. So we're going to start looking at developing more of the site drawings and make them more available in public places so that people can see what we're building, and also making sure that we're really out there and sharing the information and the vision for this hospital over the next 2 years while we're getting this built. It's really important that we want people to really understand what it is we're building. We're not taking things away. We're bringing to this community, and we want that message to be loud and clear to everyone, and not have people concerned that, you know, Eastern Niagara is going to close. It is going to go away. But had we not come into the community and we had not developed this proposal, it would have happened much sooner. So
right,
this is a great thing.
That's an excellent point to end this discussion on. The reality is, if this hadn't taken place, we probably wouldn't even have a hospital operating in Lockport right now.
That's so correct.
Joyce Markowitz, thank you so much. This has been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
We appreciate having you here on Ask the Pro. And perhaps we'll do this again with you sometime, or maybe we'll get Mark Sullivan back in here one of these days. But
sounds good.
As the process continues, We'll keep everybody informed right here on Ask the Pro. And again, Joyce, have a great day.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, John.
All righty. This has been Ask the Pro, brought to you by Catholic Health and Mount St. Mary's Hospital in Lewiston on WLVL Lockport. Join us next time.